This session is called Confidence. I feel like there's something wrong with me. That's a simple sentence, but it contains a whole universe of feelings, insecurities, and fears. I often meet people who describe in fine detail this inner struggle, this invisible war with themselves. "I'm afraid," they say, "that something will go wrong. I don't know if I can speak my mind out loud or if others will ignore me." And often they add, "I know, it doesn't look like me, but when someone criticizes me, even a little, it completely throws me off." Still, that's not all. They need someone to tell them, "You're good enough, you're doing it right." They need reassurance. They need to be reassured that their value is real. How is it that I hear words like these from so many people who otherwise come across as the most successful, charismatic, and even organized individuals? Why are they so often afraid of failure? Why do they feel they are not good enough? The truth is that the greatest fighters in the outside world are often fighting themselves internally. And I'll tell you one thing right off the bat. You are not alone in this. Lots of people feel the same way. You only have to open a little box inside them to see the same feeling of insecurity. Yes, they're worried about their own self-worth. Self-worth is a very intimate construct. The way we perceive ourselves is deeply rooted in ourselves, in the experiences we have gained throughout our lives, and in how we perceive our emotions or how we are perceived by those around us. Self-worth is not something we can get as a gift from someone. It is not something that another can build or prove to you. It is a deeply internal process. One either has a sense of self-worth or one does not. But beware. The good news is that you can work on your self-worth. Why is it that our self-worth, even though it is so fundamental, is often undermined? Psychologists often look for the cause in early childhood. The first 4 to 5 years of life are the crucial years when our identity and basic patterns of emotion are formed. The emotional foundation we acquire during these years affects us in the long term. And no, none of us had a perfectly ideal environment. Yet this awareness is freeing in itself. If our foundation wasn't solid, we can rebuild it. It's like rebuilding an old house that can now be solid and stable. The main building blocks of self-worth are self-acceptance and self-awareness. Self-awareness means knowing your emotions, understanding them, and their impact on your life. And most importantly, not to be intimidated by their existence. Self-acceptance is then about forgiving ourselves, accepting our shortcomings, and realizing that no person in the world is perfect. Self-worth is born out of these two elements. It is an archetype of strength that allows you to stand on your own 2 feet, knowing that you are good just as you are. Moreover, self-worth is the key to emotional intelligence. When we open the door to a better understanding of our own emotions, we reach a stage where we are able to separate them from ourselves. And this is something that is not only learned, but more importantly, practiced. We begin to understand that we are not anger, or we are not sadness. We are a human being experiencing these emotions. Try saying to yourself, "Now I feel anger in my body," instead of, "I am angry." This shift in thinking is subtle but crucial. It allows you to not be a victim of emotion because suddenly you see that emotion is just an experience you are having. And the experience, unlike your being, you can process. Now let's practice a little technique to help you. The first technique is the well-known body scan. This meditation method teaches us to feel our body, to stop ignoring the signals it gives us, and to accept its presence. Focusing on our body means accepting the reality of how we are currently functioning. It's a gentle process that, with regular practice, brings relief, emotional stability, and greater understanding. And next technique is journaling. Just take a paper, a pencil, and start writing. It doesn't matter exactly what you write. Sentences don't have to have structure. They don't have to be perfect. Just start with a sentence like, "Today I feel," or Today I experienced. 3 minutes of honest writing a day can literally revolutionize your soul. You may be thinking right now, that all sounds nice, but I still feel like I'm not up to it. I'm not good enough. And this is where the concept I like to call loving grandma comes in. Imagine a person who always sees you in the best light, who doesn't judge you, doesn't criticize you, but doesn't leave you without guidance either. Create such a grandma in your mind. Imagine her sitting next to you and just calmly saying, "Look at you. You are amazing just the way you are. Your process is perfect the way it is right now." Self-worth is not about the world recognizing your worth. It's about knowing yourself. Don't be afraid to seek and discover, because those who truly know themselves will find the keys to lasting contentment and deep peace. And you will surely find your own keys. Loss of self-confidence. Many adults carry a deep, invisible, but all the more difficult pain. A pain that has settled somewhere between yesterday's laughter and children's hands that used to long for a caress. It's the abyss of childhood, full of darkness, untold words and painful memories that one doesn't even want to look at, let alone name. Yes, there are situations when you were a child that so desperately needed a hug, to hear a sincere, "You can do it," or just to feel that someone really cared about you in that moment. But instead, there was often a slap, either directly physical or emotional, a cold shower of rejection, silence, or stop crying. How could something like that then give birth to healthy, solid self-confidence? How could a little person who has experienced never being good enough become an adult who says to himself, "I'm great just the way I am"? Seriously, I deserve love, acceptance, and respect. It sounds nice, optimistic, almost fairy tale like. A grown up like that might say dryly, "Well, what the hell? I'm big now." What my mom said or implied about me doesn't matter. Today is a different day, and I've decided to trust myself. Except, now watch out for the catch. How is anyone supposed to be convinced of this when the head is clearly on the side of the small, tainted version of ourselves? Well, in simple terms, not really. But what now? We're trying all kinds of modern advice. We see a whole waterfall of motivational techniques that promise us a better me. We stand in front of the mirror and try to say out loud, "I like me." Every morning we get into the habit of keeping a gratitude journal, writing compliments to ourselves, taking pictures in the shade of good light to make us feel more like the model on the poster. We read self-help books. We listen to inspirational podcasts because it'll just sink in somehow automatically, won't it? But the reality? It's like attempting to fix an open and painful fracture with a Band-Aid from the Little Witch story. Nice gesture, certainly harmless, but you probably already know it doesn't quite work, because the trouble isn't just on the surface. It goes much deeper. Having grown for many years from a seed planted in poor soil full of bitter words, critical looks, or aloofness, it is no wonder that we have lost the firm roots of self-respect. Yes, techniques like self-praise can make us feel relieved, for a while. But what next? How do we convince that deeper voice within that sits on the throne of self-criticism that we are now finally good enough? The problem here is that we don't get by with determination or clever ideas alone. That would be a bit like saying to a depressed person, "Smile," or to someone with a broken leg, "Just go." We tend to put a giant backpack of responsibility on our shoulders along the lines of, "You've got to figure this out on your own. If you couldn't do it for so many years, now just learn." It's a popular mantra in today's world. Get over yourself. Think positive. Reprogram your brain. Only it doesn't work. It's not that simple. If it was, we'd all be living happily ever after. Fortunately, there is a way. It's not the shortest. It's not immediately easy. But it is a way. That path is a relationship. Real and authentic contact with someone else. Psychology, and especially therapy, shows that our deep wounds can begin to heal through a relationship through which we gradually, step by step, experience a new reality. We can slowly rewrite that dark record of our past through what we experience now. Therapeutic relationships, whether with a professional therapist, a good friend, or a partner, can help us replay old patterns and catch new melodies. What was once inflicted by emotions and behaviors in our environment can also be healed through a new relationship. Think of it as a garden. For many years, we told ourselves that it was normal that nothing much grew on our soil. After all, there we were dealing with a stuffy air covered by the erosion of mistrust, a thick planting of non-acceptance. And now, slowly, with someone else's help, we are suddenly beginning to see that the sun can shine occasionally and the sky can be blue. Therapy, relationship, trust. This is the new thing that can begin to change our dry ground. Scientists tell us that an important method is reminiscence therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, art therapy, coaching, or any other form of relationship work. But equally crucial is building support from others, participating in groups, sharing with each other, and psychoeducation. All of this helps us to plant a new seed, perhaps a tiny, tiny seed to start with, but it will grow stronger with time. And until we find our therapist, until we finally pick up the phone and commit to that first appointment, we can start anywhere, at our place. Give your body movement, kindness, or at least a minute of silence without self-criticism. Take a walk in the fresh air. Try mindfulness techniques. Take time to think without the need to achieve anything. Yes, it's building bricks, one at a time, but each brick has a purpose. Each small concession of kindness to ourselves is a piece of the wall that doesn't force us to move the whole world at once. I know, it's not fast, but everything new in life hurts before it settles. And if uncertainty ever reigns in your mind, if you're worth it, remember, some people will never experience what you're going through, not because they're off to a better start, but because they don't have the courage to look at it. You have the courage. So let's recap. We've all heard the winged truth. What you learn in your young age, you find in your old age. But is it really true that what we thought of ourselves during adolescence, about our appearance, abilities, qualities, and worth, remains our life mantra until the end of time? Well, thankfully, not exactly. If you grew up feeling like you had two left feet, let me assure you that no one is forcing you to stumble around with that belief your entire life. Psychologist Guy Winch likes to compare psychological injuries to physical ones, and frankly, his analogies are so fitting, they might hit you a little hard. For example, he says rejection works like a cut. It's burning, painful, and requires a lot more bandaging than you originally thought. Loneliness, on the other hand, is the emotional equivalent of a cold. It creeps up on you, makes you cranky, and can turn into something much worse with inactivity. To make matters worse, guilt can be like a trip to a dodgy sushi restaurant. After the first serving, you suspect poisoning. Self-confidence, then, in his description, corresponds to something as basic and important as your immune system. When you're sick a lot, your immunity is weakened, and when life delivers a series of blows in the form of criticism, mistakes, or rejection, it weakens your psychological armor. But once things start to go well, self-confidence can naturally recover, much like when we start to come back to life after the flu, although slowly but surely, with the help of ginger tea and bit of honey. The truth is that just like your actual immune system, your self-confidence can fluctuate. The same person who yesterday felt like they could climb Mount Everest may today feel like a doormat. Experiments suggest that just knowing that you scored particularly well on a verbal intelligence test can boost your self-confidence to the point where you thrive the rest of the day, almost magically. On the other hand, one bad performance in a meeting? Ugh, and suddenly you feel like you've gone back to school, where the teacher called you to the board and you had no idea what was being asked of you. What does that imply? That confidence is not only not fixed, but often incredibly flexible in response to events around us. If we were to tell ourselves the truth, we might find that our feeling of "I am a person without self-confidence" is actually a simplistic argument of our mind. Perhaps it is more accurate to say, "There are times when I am confident and times when I am not, and that's okay." So, what to do about all this? How do we take care of our mental muscles and not let our self-confidence fall below freezing in those moments when reality pokes us a little? Very likely, you feel like you have room for improvement right here. And don't worry, you're not alone in this. As the experts say, self-confidence is a bit like a personal garden. If you don't water it, you'll end up with a thicket of weeds instead of a beautiful, fragrant meadow. How to water your self-confidence so that it grows and blossoms. Step 1. Stop using the whip on yourself and learn kindness. This part is hard, really, because we often criticize harshly ourselves in a way we would never use on a strange dog. You know that. You make a mistake at work, you forget something, you mess something up, and the symphony starts in your head. "You're such a clumsy. Are you really so incompetent that you couldn't remember one stupid number?" And on we go, until we fill our day with self-reproach and feelings of failure. But why don't you stop for a minute? And try treating yourself like a friend who's having a rough day. We see a lot of inspiration around us, helping others, being kind, supporting them. So why is that support missing when we need it most? Guy Winch says here's a start. With an attitude of kindness towards ourselves, we start to show that we believe in ourselves and slowly start to build our self-confidence. Step 2. Learn affirmations, but ones you can trust. Remember the motivational posters with cute kittens and quotes like, "I am amazing, unbeatable, and brilliant." Well, that doesn't always work. If you secretly think of yourself as someone else, you probably won't believe your own motivational phrases. The key is to choose affirmations that feel believable and resonate with your own inner voice. For example, instead of saying, "I am the best person in the world," you can say, "I can be a good friend, I can listen to others and support them." This phrase actually relates to reality and addresses your "I" in a way that doesn't cause embarrassment or a sense of deception. Step 3. Work with compliments. Try it another way next time. When someone tells you you look good, instead of, "Oh, please, I look terrible," try saying, "Thank you." Simple and effective. Compliments don't exist to embarrass us. They exist so that we can realize that others see something we often overlook about ourselves. Step 4. Practice courage in small doses. Finally, to get over your inner fear, try to pick small victories. For example, try returning a bad purchase to the store when they sold you the wrong size. It may seem like a trivial thing, but gradual steps are what move us.